Finding a sufficient number of foster parents is challenging enough in Arkansas, but locating parents willing to take in a troubled child? The Arkansas Division of Children and Families, which oversees foster care and adoptions, coordinates with 15 agencies around the state to recruit therapeutic foster parents and provide critical support. In Northwest Arkansas, we have Ozark Guidance in Springdale. Allie Hennis is Therapeutic Foster Care Program Director. The center is housed in a double-wide trailer on the east side of campus. The place has an intentional clubhouse feel, Hennis says, to make foster families feel comfortable.
This is our favorite room. It's our playroom. And it is now this wonderful person, Miss Megan's office as well. And we're very proud of the playroom. Stocked with toys and creates an environment where children can relax. The toys become their words. They tell their stories. They work through their issues.
Play therapist Megan Miller describes her most recent session with two siblings.
These kiddos had profound abuse and trauma, and they come in and they want to do mommy play. They come in and they say, "You're mommy, and we're babies." And they come and they cry and they say, "Rock me. Rock me in the cradle, rock me in the rocking chair, I need a bottle." And this is after actual some verbal expression of, "These are the things that happened to me," which are very traumatic, and I don't want to breach confidentiality, but severe abuse and trauma that, you know, sometimes those words can come out, sometimes they get played out, but then the real magic comes when they're ready to do those nurturing pieces to move forward developmentally also.
Allie Hennis does both individual and family therapy. A large box turtle named JD watches Hennis from his aquarium as she walks into her office. JD was a gift from a foster child with Asperger's syndrome. Hennis says the turtle's an excellent co-counselor.
He doesn't interrupt, and he just looks, and he, you know, is very attentive.
And focused attention is what these children require.
They have either recently come out of a hospital setting or disrupted placement. So they've been moved from foster home to foster home from foster home. Parents have asked them to because of their behavioral or emotional issues.
They may suffer from sexual trauma, physical abuse, or neglect.
Probably our most common diagnosis for children who come into this program is post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. All of the kids in DHS custody ended up in that position as a result of abuse, neglect, or trauma of some sort, and some develop PTSD as a result. So that's a very common diagnosis for kids in our program, as well as reactive attachment disorder. Early trauma has interfered with the child's ability to trust caregivers, and what you see is a poor attachment. We have a lot of kids with anxiety disorders, and then depression or mood disorders.
So placing these children can be challenging.
It's real tough. We recruit newspaper, going to schools, going to churches, things like that. I think that parents, families are very intimidated, and I think that there's a misconception that, well, I have to be the perfect family, or it would never work for this kid. And really, we try as a program to put a lot of resources in place to help the family be successful, to help the family be the most therapeutic environment they can be for the kid.
Formerly called Treatment Foster Care, the program developed in the 1980s and is now nationally networked. Hennis and her staff manage a caseload of 20 children. She's always on call, as is a therapist and a psychiatrist.
There are success stories, and they are so incredibly moving. You can watch children absolutely change generational patterns of trauma and abuse and go on to be healthy teenagers or healthy adults, and it's just amazing.
But Hennis says therapeutic foster parents are the primary change agent. Most are middle-class married couples. Although some are single, gay couples can now legally foster and adopt. Prospective therapeutic foster parents undergo layers of interviews, including in the home, must prove financial stability, marital stability, pass an FBI check, and if chosen, undergo a 40-hour training. Only then are they carefully matched with a child.
When they make a commitment to take the child, they are making a commitment to the child for a year. We are trying to end the cycle of children moving from home to home to home. Oftentimes, kids come into our program and have had 6 or 7 homes in 6 months.
Child assigned, a case manager undergoes individual therapy and family therapy, meeting several times a week. Foster parents are privy to all medical records.
And then we're also doing therapy with the biological family member or the adoptive family. We operate based on what the court DHS case is. So if the case is reunification with grandpa, we're going to be having grandpa come in and do family therapy with them.
While some of these kids' birth parents have their rights terminated, nearly 60% of foster children end up back with them.
It's amazing. Some families walk in the door saying, "I want my child. Help me." They're sponges. What can I learn? What can I do? Oh, I need to work on things in myself to help be a better parent. Okay, I'll do that. It happens. Others come in and say, "You are keeping me from my child. I'm not going to work with you." They're frustrated. They're not as ready for the change and growth process. So it varies. But what I see is the families who get their children back are usually the ones who come in saying, "Okay, we're ready for help."
Aisha and her foster family have been coming here for treatment for almost 5 years now. She's about to turn 17. She was removed from her family home when she was 2, only to cycle through many foster homes. Finally, she was placed in a therapeutic foster home with Donnie and Brenda Watson, who live in Hinesville.
Out of all the homes, I finally found one that I feel safe in.
Brenda Watson.
Of course, my famous saying is, "As my children grow, I grow," because it's an ever-learning and changing experience, because all of our kids are so different and all of their needs are different.
The Watsons have 2 grown children and have taken in 2 more therapeutic foster daughters, and Aisha helps with her sisters.
When she's missing her brother, she just kind of hugged her and said, "I know I've been there, but I promise you it's going to be all right." And she's a very good example of how you get through those things, and instead of being a victim, you're a survivor.
The Watsons adopted Aisha last summer. Plus, she was reunited with 2 of her birth sisters for the first time. They too are adopted. Now, Aisha is looking forward to building a life of her own.
Well, I'm going to take a child development class so I can learn to work in a daycare.
Where Aisha will likely sing to the children.
"Feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time. Feels like I'm breathing. Feels like I'm moving. For the very first time. For the very first time. In my life."
Brenda Watson, who's given over her life to helping children, says she's utterly grateful for having Aisha in her life. But this unique family would not exist without Ozark guidance. It contracts with the state. With a few exceptions, Medicaid covers foster children's medical expenses. And the state pays foster parents between $410 to $500 a month for board. Therapeutic foster parents also receive an additional daily $74, which they divide between themselves and their provider. Specific travel expenses, a clothing allowance, and certain program costs are also subsidized. But starting this month, board paid to therapeutic foster parents has been cut in half.
Regarding the cuts, though they represent about a 50% cut in the board payments for therapeutic foster parents, it really represents only about a 10% cut in overall payments.
Amy Webb is spokesperson for the Arkansas Department of Human Services.
But because they get an additional amount from the providers, it's not a 50% overall cut in the amount of money they receive.
Webb says the demand for services is growing while federal support has dropped along with state spending. Tom Petrizzo is CEO of Ozark Guidance.
And actually it puts us in a very difficult situation relative to the parents because the money is a pass-through. So we're the bearer of the bad news in some ways. We have to say, look, your room and board rate has been cut, so we can't pass through as much money, or we have to take it out of the treatment rate. And what a dilemma that is, you know, to say, are we going to reduce treatment or to make up somehow the difference for the room and board cut, or are we not? Are we going to continue with that and they just have to make do with a lower amount for room and board? That's a difficult, difficult dilemma. And that's the part that's very disappointing to me, that the Division of Child and Family put us in that situation as the intermediary or go-between with the families.
In a letter furnished by the Arkansas Department of Human Services, DCFS, it was suggested that Ozark Guidance, quote, utilize a portion of its contract payment to minimize financial impact to foster parents, end quote. In other words, slash its own operating budget. It's too early to tell if budget cuts will affect the therapeutic foster care program here and statewide. But so far, none of the enrolled therapeutic foster parents here have quit. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.